The two disciples recounted what had taken place on the way and how Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. While they were still speaking about this, he stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." But they were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. Then he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do questions arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see I have." And as he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they were still incredulous for joy and were amazed, he asked them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of baked fish. He took it and ate it in front of them. He said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord. Through the words of the Gospel. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, good evening. During the Easter season, the Church invites us to reflect on the different events which took place after the resurrection of our Savior, as they are presented to us in the liturgy of the Word. After curing the lame man who was begging near the beautiful gate of the temple, as it was called, Peter preaches to the people, and today's first reading is drawn from this preaching of Peter. The extraordinary deed just performed draws the admiration of all. Peter tells them that what he did not do by his own power or holiness, but that it was a result of faith in Christ and a sign that Jesus is alive. He tells them that this healing is in the name of Jesus Christ, the risen one, the holy and righteous one, whom you denied and asked for a murderer to be released in his stead. In his answer to the authorities, Peter recalls the opposition between the work of people and the action of God. The chief priests were compared to builders who, having found a stone that did not conform to their ideas and fearing it would destabilize the whole house, they threw it away. But for God, that stone was precious, and he made it the cornerstone of the whole building. So Jesus, the cornerstone, was seen as dangerous because of the new message he brought and was rejected by his own people. But for God and for those who believed in him, Jesus was the good and faithful servant who died to fulfill God's plan of salvation. And on Easter Day, God raised him from death, glorified him, and set him as the cornerstone of the new building, meaning the church. What does this mean to us? My dear friends, some people who might seem to us as of low social status in the society, who are unworthy, so to speak, might be potentially great people. Everyone is valuable and esteemed in the sight of God. Everyone has a specific dignity, position, or career to which God has called him or her, and that might not be apparent at the moment, but awaiting its fulfillment, its realization at an appointed time, which God has set. So this should remind us that every human person deserves our respect. The former president of Zimbabwe, whom you know so well, Robert Mugabe, once said, "Treat each part of your towel with respect, because the part which wipes your feet today may wipe your face tomorrow." So with people, have you ever thought of that? Because when you go to take shower, you know, when you dry yourself, you don't mind which part wiped your feet yesterday. You just grab, you know, and start with any part of the towel. So the people you treat with contempt today might be your superiors tomorrow. In other words, the stone that you reject today might be the cornerstone tomorrow. In the gospel passage, St. Luke mentions one of the appearances of the risen Jesus. At the very beginning of the passage, the evangelist notes that the two disciples of Emmaus, who hurried back to Jerusalem, had told the 11 how they recognized him in the breaking of the bread. And while they were recounting the extraordinary experience of their encounter with the Lord, he himself, meaning Jesus, stood among them. So his sudden appearance frightened the apostles. They were fearful to the point that Jesus, in order to reassure them and to overcome every hesitation and doubt, asked them to touch him and know that he was not a ghost, but a man of flesh and bone, and then asked them for something to eat to prove to them that he's the same Jesus they have been, you know, moving around with for the past 3 years. Once again, as had happened for the two at Emmaus, it is at table while eating with his own that the risen Christ reveals himself to the disciples, helping them to understand the scriptures and to reinterpret the events of salvation in the light of Easter. "Everything written about me," he says, "in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." My dear friends, we too experience the risen Lord every time you gather here for Eucharistic celebration. The liturgy of the Eucharist especially is the privileged place in which we recognize the author of life, as is called in the Acts of the Apostles, which we had in the first reading. In it, and through faith, we encounter and we enter into communion with Christ, who is the priest, the altar, and the lamb of sacrifice, and who is among us. So let us struggle to see with the eyes of faith the true Christ in the Eucharistic speeches, and thank him for accepting to be in our midst, to be among us, to be with us. Prior to celebrating the liturgy of the Eucharist, we gather around to cherish the memory of his words and of the events contained in Scripture. that is the liturgy of the word. This is the moment in which we are required to relive in our meditation the passion, death, and resurrection of our Lord, to recognize him as Lord and Savior. By celebrating worthily these two aspects of Mass, meaning the liturgy of the word and the liturgy of the Eucharist, we should be able to communicate with the risen Christ, to enter into communion with him, and draw from him the strength we need to live our Christian faith accordingly and march with confidence in our journey toward the heavenly Jerusalem. Without the Eucharist, our lives as Christians would be a mess. The Eucharist is the perpetual living inheritance which the Lord has bequeathed to us in the sacrament of his body and his blood, and which we must constantly rethink and deepen so that, as Pope Paul VI said, it may impress its inexhaustible effectiveness on all the days of our life. May God bless you. Amen.